music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
On the line now, I have Rebecca Sheridan. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. And we're going to talk about another fundraiser for CASA, which is the Caring and Sharing Association. Will you just tell the listeners a bit about the work you're doing out there?
I will, of course. CASA has been in existence since 1981, and we have three services currently. We have a respite house in Malahide, which provides all year round respite, apart from the month of August, for our members with disabilities, both intellectual and physical. And then we've CASA Mainstream, which organises regular social activities for our members, you know, outings usually on a weekend, Sunday afternoon, and just music, dancing, social afternoon. And then we run a Lourdes pilgrimage once a year. So they're kind of the main services. And we also have some projects in Kenya, which started in 2012, very grassroots projects providing similar services to people with disabilities in the local area.
I mean, that's a coincidence. I'm just after interviewing Friends of Londiani. I don't know if you're aware of them. It's guys, you know, covering a couple of fundraisers today. So this is going to take place, this fundraiser, and it's a very unusual and a very interesting one. It's going to take place in October in the Red Cow Morden Hotel.
That's it, yeah. It's based on the TV show The Cube. We did it last year, John, and it was a great success, so we just decided we'd give it another bash. So I don't know if you know the ITV show The Cube. I think it's Philip Schofield.
We do indeed, yeah, very good.
Yeah, so it's great fun. So we did it last year, and, you know, we had about 25 contestants, and basically they just, similarly as with the TV show, they just compete and do little challenges, under a bit of pressure, I have to say. They need a lot of skill and patience and nerve. And they compete, about 25 people, and the prize fund is €1,000. So people, unlike The Cube on TV, where you have seven lives, obviously we couldn't do that. The show would probably go on all night. So it's a speed-based, so the skills are, each contestant is timed. So the fastest people go through to the semi-final, then the final. But it's great fun. So they just all have to raise €250 each and hopefully sell between 5 and 10 tickets, you know, to friends or family who might come along and support them on the night.
Yeah, and as I always say to charities and NGOs and stuff like that, the funding is very, very necessary. And I think the last time I was talking to you, were you starting to looking for another respite house or a respite home?
I don't know if we were looking for it. We had originally two respite houses, but we had to let one go. So maybe that was what you were thinking of, John. Unfortunately, we had to lose our respite house in Swords because we just didn't have enough funding really to keep it going. So we focused all our efforts into the Malahide respite house. So that may be what... now we'd love another respite house if anyone would like to donate one. We'd definitely be able to... We've certainly got a long enough waiting list, unfortunately. There's such a great demand on respite services here in Ireland.
Yeah, and I know how important it is, and it's for parents and carers and stuff like that. It's a break for them as well.
Oh, it certainly is, and, you know, we as I say, we do have a long waiting list, and, you know, with changes with HICWA and different requirements that the house had to fulfil, because the house is just a regular house in a housing estate, and so we had to make a few changes to come up to speed with HICWA requirements, so which meant that we had to reduce the number of people we could bring in at any given time for respite, which was obviously very disappointing to all the people who would regularly receive respite from CASA. So it has been disappointing year in terms of there's a lot of people who would have received respite previously, or maybe one or two breaks in the year. It's since been reduced to maybe one, and obviously we get calls from social workers and just people who've seen CASA maybe on the website requesting respite, so it can be difficult to say no. You know, there is such a huge demand, so certainly, you know, we would like to have a second respite house down the line, but as you know, John, with another house comes additional needs, requirements for staff, and we don't have the funding. I suppose the CASA respite house would receive maybe half of what it takes to run the house for the year from the HSE. So there's a big shortfall to be made up through fundraising events, and being a very volunteer-led organisation, it can be hard to get people to come on board for fundraisers. And volunteers, you know, they only have a certain amount of time. We prefer them to be involved in the hands-on activities that CASA organises rather than constantly asking them to fundraise for us.
Yeah, and I actually know how important it is, for the respite is. I know young adults who had respite, and because of cutbacks to the charity sector and the NGO sector, it was stopped, and it's heartbreaking for them because it's independence for them. They're socialising, and as well as that's also a great break for the adults. So it's very, very important.
And especially from the independence point of view, sorry, John, when you mentioned independence, because it's a great opportunity for, especially for young adults, to, you know, go away on their own for the weekend, maybe meet up with other, you know, peers and friends, people they've maybe met before on respite breaks, and they get to go home and tell their parents and their family about, you know, the weekend that they had, where they were out independent and doing activities, and especially the respite service that we provide, it's very activity-based as well, you know, and people are coming essentially to another home. We like to think of it as a home from home, and it's very action-based, the weekend. You know, we try and match people with similar interests so that the weekend can be of real value. You know, that people would go shopping, bowling, cinema, you know, go out for meals. So it is genuinely a fun weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very important. And the people, the volunteers that man these houses are all lovely people. I mean, I've always gone on about volunteers. They're great, fantastic people, and most charities would be lost without them.
Oh gosh, I mean, when you think, you know, we've such a small core staff, I would be the only full-time person working within CASA. Now the respite house would be different, obviously. There's a need for more more staff there, but the volunteers that are in the house obviously give their time. You know, we would have drivers, people who come in and cook. There's, you know, great workforce, people who do the garden, you know, just completely small things that you wouldn't really think of, but they really do facilitate the running of the house, and they're so important to CASA. Without them, you know, we really wouldn't be able to continue the services that we provide. So, and in general, I think Ireland is very good for volunteers. You know, there's a lot of really enthusiastic people who are really kind with their time, willing to donate their time, and organisations such as ourselves really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm always saying the Irish people are very generous as regards volunteering and also donating. And
they really are.
The funding is very necessary. Now, I have to mention this. I mentioned it to all charities I talked because of recent events. They have to be sure that the money is going to be spent properly.
No, of course they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's huge importance. It's been so disappointing, you know, what's happened of late, and, you know, really disappointing to say the least. And, you know, obviously every other charity is suffering because of it, and in a way, rightly so. You know, I think people are just becoming a little bit more suspicious, and they really, you know, you can't blame them for that. We did actually a bucket collection at one of the Super Values just about a few days after, you know, the recent events came to light. And I have to say, you know, volunteers were kind of terrified to go out. They, you know, wondered what the reaction would be. But overall, people just wanted to talk about it. And, you know, we were very happy to talk to people and to, you know, explain where our funding, you know, where the money that they put in the bucket goes, you know. And I think all charities really just need to be that transparent, and there just needs to be more talking. And hopefully the charities regulator, you know, can do its job and get through all the charities that it needs to have a look at.
Yeah, and it's not easy fundraising, and I think we spoke before about your bag collection clothes, and there was rogue collectors going around taking these bags. Is that still going on, Rebecca?
It does. Unfortunately, it still happens, John. But there's not really a whole lot you can do to prevent that. I mean, we have one van driver who does our collections, Liam. So he would put the flyers maybe a few days beforehand, you know, just to say what day that people are going to collect, and if people could leave their bags out in the morning. But a lot of people who would have to leave the house early for work, or, you know, they might leave the bag up very early, or sometimes the night before. So the bogus collectors, you know, they're very cute. I suppose they go around either the night before just in case people have left bags out, or they try and get there early enough to beat the drivers themselves, you know, our driver lean. So it does happen, but, you know, people are great. A lot of people phone into the office here just to make sure that it's a genuine collection as well, because, you know, they're concerned themselves. They don't want their goods to be given to these bogus collectors. So I think everyone's just a bit more aware of it now, so it's not quite as bad as it was.
Yeah, there's also leaflets posted indoors from these bogus collectors, and I think, I don't know whether it was you that said it to me, that you should always check that there's a charity number, a registered number.
Yeah, because usually they'd only have a mobile. I get them myself at home, and I always try and phone the mobile, and there's, you know, inevitably you can never get through. But you will notice, yeah, they don't have a registered charity number. You should always look for that. And obviously, if somebody isn't answering their phone, they're not really going to be genuine. So that's, those leaflets go straight in the bin, I'm afraid, John.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. Anyway, we'll get back to this fundraiser. It's happening again at the Red Cow at Morden Hotel. If somebody wants to get involved, it's a great fun night, I'd imagine.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great fun. And we are currently, we're running two, I suppose, big fundraisers this year. One is a skydive, and that's happening in September, and then October is the Cube. So we've had great interest in the skydive, but now we're focusing our efforts on trying to recruit contestants for the Cube. So we only have three at the moment, so there's a lot of places there to fill, John. So I'm hoping people might make contact. And you know, it is a great night for your friends and family, so you're the contestant, and obviously you're the one who has to get into the big giant cube, but your family can come along and have a few drinks and just cheer you on. And yeah, it's a very, very fun social night out.
Yeah,
and obviously there's the chance of winning €1,000.
Yeah, I actually love the show. I'd be screaming at the television. And
maybe you need to sign up yourself, John. There's plenty of places there.
And I think you mentioned family and friends and all that, so there's an audience there. And will you have the four people beside the cube giving out the advice?
There's a lot of shouting from the audience, put it that way. Yeah. You know, each contestant, I mean, they brought, you know, they great support, you know, the friends and family, but they'd generally be sitting at a table in the audience. But there wasn't a shortage of advice being shouted up now. They weren't as close as they are on the TV. But it's great fun, you know, each contestant has to choose walk-on music as well, you know, so they get to pick, obviously, their cheesiest or favourite tune, and there's a big build-up to them, you know, coming on, and it's great. I have to say, last year, actually, we always look for a main sponsor. Last year, we had a company, ASL, which is based out in Swords, sponsors for the night, and one of their employees, Alan Duffy, actually was taking part in it, and he won the cube, so it was quite interesting. He was obviously the sponsor, but he donated the prize money back, which was amazing.
Now that's fantastic. So
and we're lucky this year we have another sponsor. John McColgan, River Dream, has very generously sponsored the event, so we don't actually have any costs, which is amazing. So every penny that we raise will go directly to the CASA services.
That's great, that's fantastic. And now, just again, each contestant is being asked to raise a minimum amount of €250, is that correct?
€250, minimum. Obviously, you know, last year we had a few contestants who raised a lot more, which was amazing for CASA, but that's the minimum, and we would ask that people would sell between 5 and 10 tickets if they could, but which isn't generally hard, because, you know, if you're going to be doing something like this, people usually want to come along and watch you. And so we do have about 23 places left, so, you know, we're looking for contestants at the moment, and they just need to contact the CASA office here.
Right, it's not until October, so there's plenty of time for people to get involved.
There's loads of time.
And
it's not a huge amount of money to fundraise,
not really.
You know, so it shouldn't take, even though I know people are so tired of it, you know, it can be difficult. There's so many worthy charities out there, and somebody always has a sponsor card of some description. So, you know, when I say it's not a huge amount of money, it probably is in light of, if, you know, you're fundraising, if you're the type of person that does these challenges, you've usually maybe done another one, and your family might be hiding from you.
Yeah, well, this is a very clever fundraiser, and a very enjoyable one for even for the audience and for family and friends and stuff like that. How can people get more information on this or register for this?
Okie doke. Well, you can go onto our website, John, just casa.ie, and that's got information on how the cube works and how the night works, and etc. And also, you can buy the tickets online there on our website. If you just want to come along and be, you know, maybe you're not feeling brave enough to be a contestant, but you might like to come along with a group as a night out, so you can buy the tickets there. Or you could just phone the office on 01872 5300 and ask for Francis or Rebecca, and we'll get you signed up as a contestant. You can also do that on the website as well. There's a sign up page.
Okay, well, I hope it's a great success, as it was last year. And
fingers crossed.
Yeah. And the work you're doing is very, very important, so the funding is also very, very important. Rebecca, thanks very much for taking the call. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, just that I suppose, you know, CASA usually takes a bit of a break in the month of August, but that we'll be looking for new volunteers in September. So equally, if people are interested in volunteering for one of our groups, just to contact the office as well or go onto the website, there's more information about volunteering. And we are looking for a specific volunteer, somebody who might help with our youth group as an events coordinator. Obviously, when it's a voluntary position, it's hard to find specific or to fill specific roles. So if there's anyone out there with maybe who's worked in the area or has experience in events coordination, just to give me a shout here in the office. We'd love to hear from you.
We might talk about that again in September, the beginning of September.
Brilliant. That'd be great. I'd love to.
Okay, Rebecca, listen, thanks very much for taking my call.
And thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it.
No, no problem. Thank you.
This is 90.3 Near FM.